Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
And our scripture reading from the Gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to John the Baptist, "I want to be baptized." And John responded, "Well, wouldn't I be humiliated baptizing you as someone in need of repentance?" And Jesus said, "Not that baptism." He's speaking of the Qumran baptism. It's a ritual bath of many types. One of them is a purifying bath to identify him as a teacher of righteousness. "I wish to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness." Well, then John said, "How can I refuse you?" Hear now, from Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me?" And Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Let us pray. Holy One, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you. We offer this sermon and this worship to you this morning. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. So why did Jesus have to be baptized? William Barclay points out, no Jew has ever conceived that he, a member of the chosen people, a son of Abraham, assured of God's salvation, would ever need baptism. And yet, according to Matthew, it says that he did. In those days, John the Baptizer came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying to all the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so people came from all over Judea to come and receive the baptism, confessing their sin in the Jordan River. And clearly something was up here. A new day was dawning. The kingdom of God was at hand. Jews of every stripe and from every corner of Judea were coming. But that's not all. Matthew says, then Jesus came. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized. Again, I ask, why? Now, evidently, John was also wondering the same thing. But John would have hindered him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" And Jesus said, "Allow it for now, for this is the fitting way for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him. And so Jesus was baptized. He came to fulfill the Qumran, rule of righteousness as a priest. And at the same time, he who was without sin submitted to the baptism of sinners and took his place among the sinners of the world. The MacArthur New Testament commentary says this: he humbled himself in obedience to God, who, existing in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself like taking the form of a servant. So here's what happened. He became one of us that by God's grace we might aspire to become more and more like him. It's a transformation from sinfulness to uprightness. It begins with our baptism, and it goes on as long as we live, as long as we grow in the knowledge of the grace and love of God, believing that God has a better plan for our lives, even if we don't see that plan yet. So most of us don't remember, you see, what was promised at our baptism. Many of us were infants at baptism. Some of us were not when we were baptized. So even if we were not, sometimes the words are seem far away. We seem to sometimes forget what those promises were. What the promises were made by your parents and the congregation when you were an infant on your behalf. And then later we would confirm in our baptism. So I'd like to refresh our memories today, because this is the Baptism of Christ Sunday in which we do that. Because when we remember time and again of those promises, we can press forward in life. We have a confirmand with us today. Emily is in confirmation class, and she is learning what her baptism is all about and making decisions around that. So this is as much for all of us as it is for Emily, as she learns today what the promises, three promises that were made. And it goes like this. The first promise, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce all evil and its power in the world? To which your parents and godparents said, we do. Yes, we do. Speaking on your behalf. To renounce the sin, the big ones, the little ones, the big lies, the little lies. Our parents would teach us, and our Sunday school classes would teach us, you know, we renounce all that. To pursue a life of honoring God, walking a straight path. This means, amongst other things, don't hang out where trouble breeds. I'm sure your parents taught you that. Don't keep company with those who don't keep your values. Wrong thoughts, wrong ideas, things that muddle the Word of God also breeds trouble, not just people. So keep your mind pure and stay away from those who would lead you astray. And then the second promise that your parents made for you. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in His grace and love? To which your parents said, yes, we do. And godparents who were there present at the baptism. To turn to Jesus is first to acknowledge that He did in fact die for our sins. He is the bridge that gaps us between us and God, a righteous God. He's not just King, but Lord of our lives. Now that means that we follow His teachings by the Word of God. We read the Scriptures. We learn by His example. We trust the Holy Spirit to guide us and make decisions as we discern life. We do what He did. For instance, Jesus taught His disciples to forgive. But whoever strikes you on your right cheek, He said, turn and offer the other as well. He taught, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He taught for us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow. And finally, the third promise. It goes like this. Will you be Christ's faithful disciples, obeying His word and showing His love? To which your parents and godparents said, yes, we do. To be a disciple is to be disciplined. It's a word I know that many of us, what's disciplined? I know. And to be disciplined is to answer to a higher authority in our lives. When I was a child, my dad, who's in the military, United States Air Force, used to come home from missions overseas. And he used to wake us up in the morning with a wake-up call. Now, thankfully, he didn't have a bugle, but his voice was large and loud. "Wake up! Wake up! Get ready!" Jumped out of bed when he was with us at home in a hurry. We scrambled to get ourselves dressed and make our beds so that all four corners were tuckly tight that he could drop that quarter and it would bounce on the bed. Nope, I'm not kidding. And then we would eat our breakfast. After that, finish getting ready, and then he would call us into the living room at attention. And I mean, we would have to stand. He would say, "Attention." And we'd have to stand there at attention, try not to giggle while he was doing this. And he would salute us, and we'd have to salute him back. Oh, it gets worse. And then we'd stand there as he inspected if we brushed our teeth, was our neck clean, was our hair brushed, did we have our shoes on the right foot. And then he would say, "At ease." And we would stand at ease, trying not to giggle. And we grabbed our bags, and away we'd go. Now, I got to tell you that we were obedient to orders before we even hit the school ground. Our teachers loved us. We never had to worry about Rick or I, or me, about following the rule. You see, we are like God's army. It's like God says every morning, "Wake up, Christian! Get ready!" Start with a prayer. Start with the Word of God. I mean, read it. Choose one chapter a week and read it. And before you hit the ground running, or before you know you're facing situations through the day, ask yourself, am I prepared with putting on my spiritual armor? You know, the one that, the shoes of peace, you know, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, sword of the Spirit. Am I ready? And have I covered the day with prayer? And then ask yourself, before you do or say anything, would Jesus do what I'm about to do? Would Jesus say what I'm about to say? So let's sum it up. First, your parents and godparents did a great thing for you at your birth. Then years went by as you learned more and more about your faith in Jesus, in worship, in Sunday school, at home with your parents, friends. And then hopefully at some point you were confirmed your baptism as a teenager maybe or as an adult. You've been baptized. You bear the mark of the promise. You belong to Jesus Christ and to God's great family of faith. It's an amazing thing. What a privilege. And if you have not been baptized or you want to confirm your baptism, we can do that too. We will celebrate you here, right here, together. Just let me know. No matter what lies ahead in 2023 and beyond, remember, you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God, whom God loves, and with you, God is well pleased. May this new year be a daily renewal of the promises we made long ago. May you be able to live those promises each and every day. Amen.